Hello.
Hello, Mr. President.
Hello, Jack.
How you feeling?
Well, I see you all made the papers this morning.
Who made the papers?
Well, I said you was carrying on two jobs, and you overworked, and you'd had to retire to your castle in Palm Springs. Said Reedy is he'd been bearing a great crushing burden, campaign having listened to these speeches, and I'd been making them too long, and he had retired to his yacht in Acapulco, and Mr. Moyers is going down to survey the Puerto Rico situation to see if they had handled their election properly, and there's nobody tending the store.
Who wrote all that?
Well, the Wall Street Journal had a good problem about our troubles and the scandals, and they had a good deal of it. The president's problems, they had it.
Is that Al Otten writing that?
Yeah.
He's no good bastard.
Says Mr. Jenkins and Reedy remained devoted for many years. Most good one White House aide said would have been if the president realized he can't push his men. But there's no sign he's learned that lesson.
Oh, my God.
And Johnson replaced Jenkins with a man already on his staff, and he's very overloaded, Bill Moyers. And the president's personal confidant, Jack Valenti, he talks of wanting to return to his Houston business. But he probably could be persuaded to stay on. However, he too is doing the work of several men.
God.
The recent Johnson additions hide out complain of working too hard and too long. Dick Goodwin is in Mexico. Valenti is in Palm Springs. Ken O'Donnell and Larry O'Bonnell are writing a book. Dungan is specialized in foreign aid. He's going to Chile. Johnson clearly approached the personal danger of the president pushing into crowds.
He's a no good bastard.
Despite editorial warnings, seemed to impel him into more frantic personal contact. The GOP handling the Jenkins affair annoyed him. Finally, late one campaign night, he blasted the charge out in the open. It was not Johnson's aides, you know who my aides are, abashedly admitted one of Johnson's finer moments. Well, I would say I knew more about what I said that night and my aides in the light of what developed.
I would say you're right. I would say that the results speak pretty good. You set a world's record for being reelected. I don't know how the hell you beat that. You can't quarrel with this. Al Otten is a no good son of a bitch, and I wouldn't give him 20 seconds of the day. Just a no-good bastard, and I hate that Wall Street Journal. They're the ones that always calling me the valet, and I wouldn't have truck with them. Screw them. That's the way I feel about them. But I wanted to tell you three things. Number one, that Mary Margaret and I love you, and we're proud of you.
Well, what about Linda? That's what I want to know. She doesn't act like she looked like me. She lost a good deal of her affection, and I'm afraid that girl is being brought up wrong by calling her by the wrong name.
I tell you, Mary Margaret already, though, is really homesick. She's just kind of thinks about it and looks at those pictures, and I don't know what I'm going to do. We'll probably have to check out of here early.
I'm thinking about going back today. I'm not sure that I will, but I just so damn much that I think I'm going to check back. I'm waiting.
I plan to be back there in 3 days. I plan to be back there Monday, and I'm ready to go to work on Monday. Two things that I want to pass along to you. Number one, on television show last night, I saw it, Governor Brown. Governor Brown made the statement that he appointed Pierre Salinger because the President of the United States called him and asked him to. And Brown is trying to chicken out now and trying to divest himself of any of the stain of Pierre's defeat. And he got on television and said that he appointed Pierre because you personally called him and asked him to, which of course is a lie, but he said it. And I wanted you to know that. Point number two, Phil Regan got a hold of me on the telephone and said that David McDonald asked him, Phil Regan, to call me and wanted me to call Dick Daley, to ask Dick Daley to try to keep this fella Abel from running against McDonald for the presidency of the steel union. And it seems that the guy backing Abel is a man named Chiavo out of Chicago. He's a close friend of Daley's, and so forth and so on. I told Phil Regan, I said, I can't make phone calls like that. I don't do things like that, Phil. And
I would never take his call. He's a crook and got a big FBI record. And
I read his FBI record, and I'm well aware of that. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't make phone calls like that. I don't do that for anybody. I mean, that's just not my job, period. But McDonald, he may be getting in touch with you. I don't know. But I can tell you what, he's scared about this guy running against him, and they think they're going to beat him. And he's really getting worried. And he's looking for all sorts of ways to keep this opposition off his back. I'm just letting you know about it in case you get a call.
I gather so. Words told Buzz yesterday that McDonald was going to have to go. And I think he's been over-drinking and things of that kind. Although I will say this, he was real loyal and went to bat for me every time he's ever asked.
Well, I think McDonald is finally counting on that the only thing that's going to save him is probably going to be something from you. But I just wanted you to be aware of that in case you got a call from McDonald. That's damn near what it's going to be about. But I just told this other man, I said, I'm sorry, that's just not my job. I don't do things like that. I'm not in that kind of business.
Now, how'd he locate you?
He's out here in Palm Springs. Got me on the phone here. He lives here in Palm Springs. And it was a local call, and I didn't even, nobody screened the call, just a local call. And he got a hold of me. But he lives here. This is his home. And I just told him, it's not my job. I don't do things like that.
I'm trying to think. I want to talk to John today of a real hard, tough, cold customer that we can have for our security person that's really got great trust in the country. I want somebody, you know, like
White House security, you mean?
Yeah, like what? Like Wild Bill Donovan or somebody like that.
That'd be an excellent thought. Somebody's above and beyond reproach, too.
Yeah. Probably we ought to move top man into the Secret Service, please.
I think this opinion, you mean, Mr. President, Jim Rowley is not a good man. Now, Jim Rowley, he is really close friends with people like Phil Regan and all these characters. They every time that they come out here, Regan is the guy who entertains the Secret Service. He wines them, he dines them, he does all sorts of things for them.
Well, we better watch talking over the phone. We better watch that. But we'll have to think. I'm going to talk to John today, and we've got to get in. I don't know. I got to be back here Wednesday for the Mexican president.
That's right.
And do we have anything else that's scheduled between
no.
now? Let's don't make another date.
I'm not going to schedule anything for you. Use this time to think and to plan and do whatever you choose to. We have nothing on the schedule. The next really big thing you have is on December the 3rd when you're supposed to speak to the Georgetown University convocation.
Yeah, and then I've got to speak also to the business council.
Yes, sir, that's right. That's right, the business council. That's in December also. And those are the only two really big engagements that you have. And that's all.
Call up Brown out there and just tell him that I was talking to you this morning and that my records show that he indicated to me that he wanted to appoint Pierre and ask if he's all right. And I told him that I thought he's fine, but it doesn't look like I don't think that I made any statement like that. And if I did, I sure don't want it on television.
But he said it. I saw it, and it was just stunning. I couldn't believe what he was saying.
Well, I don't think it makes any difference. I don't think it's going to mount to anything one way or the other. What was the reason they beat Pierre so bad?
Pierre said two reasons. Number one was Proposition 14. There's no question about that hurt him desperately. And the other thing was that they exploited this carpetbagger issue on him with a line that said, don't vote for a man who can't vote for himself. And that the Bob Kennedy thing exaggerated it and irritated it. And those were the two things that beat him. Now, Governor Brown said, I talked to him yesterday briefly. He called Lloyd Hand and I just talked to him very briefly before I had seen the television show. And he said that one of the reasons why they lost Pierre was that in the last weeks of the campaign, they transferred all the brains and the muscle to the Johnson campaign and sort of left Pierre out there floating by himself. which of course is untrue also. I checked this out with Lloyd and the people around, and that's just not true.
Who said that?
Governor Brown. But Pierre is here, and he got me aside last night. We had a quiet little talk, and he said that the thing that beat him was Proposition 14 and this carpetbaggers. And incidentally, Pierre is so grateful, he says, but the one man who did more for me than anybody was the president. That he just, he said, I'll never forget what he did for me. And he said he just went all out, never looked back, never hesitated, always stood beside me. And he was really very grateful to you. And he ascribes his defeat to his own miscalculation.
Well, I knew 14 was going to ruin him and ruin me or ruin anybody else. Nobody really wants this housing thing. And I knew that that's it, and that's why I dodged it every time I went there and just stayed away from it. And I told him his trouble, and he just crusading on it, and he just oughtn't have been doing that. And then I rather think that television appearance hurt him. He got a little cocky. He's
that's
inclined
right.
to be
a little... admit that, but everybody else says that the television debate was really the thing. It first began to give his own supporters some doubts that he just didn't look good, and that he didn't come off well. This other man was an affable, handsome man, and hurt Pierre desperately. But he didn't mention, he didn't describe that television appearance as his defeat at all. But just such a personal thing, I guess he didn't want to say it. It had to do with appearances and everything else.
All right, well, take care of yourself,
right, and I'll be with you Monday, sir.
All right.
Bye.